To Colossians chapter 3, one of the richest chapters in the entirety of God's Word. Colossians chapter 3. I have Ephesians on my mind. Brother Terry brought a great Sunday school lesson this morning from the book of Ephesians. Boy, I enjoyed that. Colossians chapter 3, we want to begin reading in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. And that's expanded love, isn't it? Charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Father, we thank you for these dynamic words. These that are meant for those of us who are redeemed, knowing that all of those things that you've said through us through the book of Colossians are for our help and our desire and our ability to be what we want to be for you. Bless us now as we study your word together. If there's one here without Jesus, may this be the day they accept Christ. In his lovely name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I enjoy summertime. It seems as though the children are now out of school, and I know there's still little league ball and a few things that we have to run the kids too, but it's really also a time to reflect on all the great and wonderful things God has done for us. These are the times of the year when my schedule slows down a little bit, and I believe Brother Terry's does too, and we get a chance just kind of look and see what we want to do for the Lord, and we do our planning for the fall during the summer. Now, that doesn't mean that we quit preparing for the summer. And we're not going to forget to tell our members we want everybody to have a vacation. We just don't want it to last all summer long. And so this is a very special time. And we know that this is a time when our congregation can actually catch their breath and look into their own hearts and to see how that we can be a more successful body for the cause of Christ. Now, so many times when we think about a church, we think about that the church is only great if he has just numbers of people, and we determine how many people make a good church, the size and the quality of the buildings, and my goodness, the Lord has given us some beautiful buildings, that's true. And the kind of people who attend, and we got the best in the world here at Bible Baptist, amen? I think so anyway. And then it's not just how many dollars are given or the popularity of the pastor. Boy, would we be in trouble if we had to go by that. I think most people love me, but we have a favorite saying in Enid, Oklahoma. You mention our name, and it's either puck or a duck. Either they're going to give you a bear hug and a sweet kiss, or they're going to take a swing at you. But we have a standard here at Bible Baptist Church. We have a great staff. We have an outstanding musical program. But church success is really not determined by the things I've talked about now to this point. It's fulfilling the call that God's given to each of us. You say, well, I thought you'd probably get around to that. Amen. And He's given us each a call and a blessing that we can be something special for the Lord. Now, what happens on Sunday is a barometer of how relevant we are in the service of the King. To see what happens from Monday morning to Saturday evening. You know, the Christian faith is 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And sometimes, if not careful, we forget that. And so it has its meaning and it has its purpose. And so if we begin to realize that it's just not a Sunday situation, and we learn to be consistent throughout the week, then we're going to see great things happen in our midst. Now, the question always comes to me as a pastor, is our congregation a life-changing congregation? Is it going to bring about fruit? Is it going to be more than just a Sunday morning sermon and a class on Sunday school? Or pre-adventure, a Sunday night or a Wednesday night time? Now, all of these services are important. But you know, if we don't take into our hearts as believers the things that come from God's Word and from behind the sacred desk, then we've worshiped in vain. All of the things we've done, all the preparation that we've made is of little value. Now, sometimes we get to thinking, well, you know, Pastor, we've got a great staff. And isn't that wonderful? By the way, I miss Brother Jerry and Carolyn, don't you? They're on vacation, and I'm hoping they're having a good time. And we have a good staff, and they work diligently, and they have their hands full every day of the week. And someone suggested that we put more on them, and I suggested that we not, because that's not the field we're in. We're in the Lord's vineyard rather than the world's vineyard. Amen? And we have a work to do, and so we have a good one. And so a lot of times saints begin to sit down on the chair of do-nothing, and they say, well, we know that the brother chicks and the staff are going to do a great job for the cause of Christ. And by the grace of God, we want to. We want to be effective and we want to do things. But you know, when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, so to speak, where the tire hits the pavement, it's not really your pastors and the staff that are going to produce lambs, it's going to be you. How many times have you heard me say this? You know, shepherds never give birth to sheep. Sheep give birth to sheep. When you invite somebody and you challenge them to come and be in the house of the Lord, you say, oh, but Pastor, we hear this quite often. Yes, but it needs to sink into our hearts. Because you see, that person that you're witnessing to and that person that you're sharing the gospel tract with is a soul that needs heaven. And if we don't get the message to them, they're going to miss heaven. Now, we can't reach as many people as you can reach. We have our duties. things that we must perform, so to speak, in the inner tribe. But it's you that are spread out all over the city of Enid, and in our county, and in our state. And it's you that has the most, if you please, the most authority than we have. You say, but the authority of a pastor and a staff is great. Yes, but listen, when we go out and witness, and we do, the lost people expect us to talk to them about the Lord. Why, sure. They'll say to themselves, well, the preacher or the staff members, they're talking to us about the church and how that great the church is and why we need the church and so on and so forth. And that's natural. You see, they understand that. But you know what surprises them so many times? When you, as individuals that have been washed in the blood, that have been made holy and have been redeemed, when you tell them about the glory of God, they don't always expect that. Because you see, in the Christian faith today, the world only knows what the Christian's supposed to do, and they don't really know what a Christian is. You know that? And you ask the average lost person, what is a Christian? Well, one that's nice. We read in our text this morning, all the things that we have as Christians. Are these found in your life? They're supposed to be there. And they'll answer, well, a Christian who is a nice person, who does the very best to live for Jesus, and who's kind to little kids, and don't kick the neighborhood pups when the pup gets after them, and don't pull the neighborhood's cat's tail, huh? You know, they have so many weird ideas of what a Christian is, but what they're really trying to tell us is what? This is what a Christian does. Well, they have no idea that a person that's a Christian is nothing more than an old sinner saved by grace. One who realized that they were sinners and they came to the realization in life they prefer heaven over hell, and so they stop and they cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. And by faith, I believe Jesus died on the cross and was buried and rose again for my sins to wash them away with his precious blood. And I accept Jesus into my heart. You say, well, Pastor, they don't know that. That's why we need to carry the message beyond the four walls of the sanctuary of God, because they need to hear it. You know, if Steve hadn't called us, and he knows our church is a praying church, he knew that when we meet together that we would pray for her, and we got the answer mighty quick, didn't we? She's surviving the tumor, the baby's fine, the little kids are doing good. But more than that, she was one to Christ Jesus. Now she's a child of God instead of a child of the devil. And so when we begin to see the overall picture, and this is what summertime's for, it's time for us to stop and look at the overall picture and how that you and I have such an intricate part in the purpose of what God's caused us to meet here together for. And so, on the lost, when we talk about our church and our congregation, are the lost finding medicine for their sin-sick soul? Are you telling somebody how to get saved? Are you talking to somebody about coming to the Lord's house? You say, well, you know, Pastor, I might not be able to win them to the Lord, but if you get them into the house of God, they can hear the gospel preached. And the decision's theirs. Everybody wants to see their loved ones and their friends in heaven. Let's vote this morning. Everybody wants to see your friends and loved ones in heaven. Let's see your hands. Well, that's almost 100%. Sure we do. But how's that going to happen? Well, it's going to be because we share with them. So are they being saved or simply making a hollow profession? Are we really training them and teaching them what the work of salvation is? And sometimes they have strange ideas about salvation. Sometimes people think, well, if I go down and shake the preacher's hand, then I'll be saved. Shaking my hand's not going to do you any good. I'd like you for you to shake my hand, don't get me wrong. But that's not going to bring salvation, is it? And they say, well, I'll join the church. Well, we like for people to join the church and take up their cross and go with us, but joining the church is not going to save you. The reason why we join the church is because we are saved. And we want to work in the church and through the church, and Christ is using the ministry of the church today to reach the lost, you see. And that's you and me. And then some will say, well, I'm going to be baptized because, you know, baptism's important, but not for salvation. It's important that it identifies us with some people that are saved. It shows to the world that we have accepted Christ, but it didn't wash our sins away. That water in that baptistry tank, it doesn't do that. But the blood of Jesus washes our sins away. And so we want to make sure that it's right. Now, is this change that they're having, that they're experiencing, is it enough to carry them through their daily life? You know, as a pastor, and like I say, summertime gives us a time to think and look at our sheep and so on and so forth. And I'm a sheep inspector. That's one of my jobs, to inspect the sheep God's given me and see if any of them got any ticks. I don't know whether sheep get fleas or not. I know they get awful greasy. But the bugs and the stuff that might happen, or if they've got something stuck in their foot, those little old tiny feet of theirs, and mine is to make sure that's cleaned out, and if they've got a scratch, to try to get it healed. But you know, when I begin to examine the sheep of our flock, the question comes to me, when we win these people to Christ and these that have been saved, is this salvation there that they've received, is it carrying through in their lives? You know, some people think that how much money they have is more important than serving the Lord. Is it? No. You see, Jesus made that so plain when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what would happen? All the things we needed would be added to us. You know, I think in this materialistic age, and this is true, people are gone to seed on things. Things. I want things. And I was talking to Brother Terry this morning. I haven't got to talk to Randy yet about it. But Father's Day is going to come up. And you know, those little scamps, they're both going to want to get me a gift. And you know what I told Terry and Randy, you listen, just get me a card. Because I have all the things I need. Now let me add this. All year long, Brother Wickert, they take care of Papa. When something happens and breaks down at the house, they're there. When something needs to be done, especially this last 6 or 8 months, and I can't do it, or I'm getting so I can now, I'm back to doing the laundry again and the ironing. I'm getting back into that. And the dishes, I'm getting better at that. I'm making the beds now, and I'm running the vacuum cleaner again. Lord, forgive me. No. But we demonstrate our love to our parents, to the people we love, not only by telling them, hey, I love you. That's good. I like to hear that, don't you? You, Carrie? You like to hear I love you? Yeah, oh. All right. And don't you like to hear once in a while from somebody saying to you, my, you're a blessing. Or hear them say, my, you're special. And most of the time I hear, my, you're unusual. And even Brother Joe, sometimes I hear, my, you're strange. Now, I don't particularly care about hearing the last couple, unusual and strange. However, compared to the way the world does things, I am unusual and I am strange to them because they don't understand why I enjoy being a Christian and don't care too much for the things of the world. So beauty is as beauty does, amen? And so I just assume and already do know that my sons love me because of the way they care for me. You say, there's a hook somewhere coming, Brother Chick. I know it's coming. There's a hook coming. You bet your boots. Here comes the hook. Are you ready? How many are ready for the hook? How many don't know where you're at? All right, now listen. Listen. We can talk about the Lord all day long and how much we love Him, but it's the things we do that proves that love. Amen? Of course. You say, Pastor, you don't need to stop. You say, well, I didn't say amen. Well, shame on you. Because, you know, my boys just don't tell me, Dad, I love you. When we talk on the phone, you say, but do you call your sons and tell them you love them? Yes, I do. And when they talk to you, do they say, Dad, I love you? Yes, they do. You say, they're sissies. You just cross them and find out that you're sacking wildcats and these don't sack. That love comes from within here. Christians, until you start serving God from in here, you're wasting your time. And you're wasting God's time. Every once in a while, when I'm examining the sheep, I say to myself, am I wasting God's time? Is that really a sheep or is that a goat? God didn't call me to be a keeper of goats. He called me to be a keeper of, called me a keeper of sheep. And sometimes, almost as time goes along and we see him pull away from God, sometimes I feel like going on to say, I've asked God to forgive me for wasting his precious time on you because you did not appreciate it. How many of you have ever given a gift and the person act like they didn't appreciate it? Sure, we all have. And sometimes they'll open 1,000 presents at Christmas time and the kids will say, "Is this all?" And then you say to yourself, "Next year we'll give you one present and then you can ask, is this all?" Huh? Have you experienced that? Yes. And you said, "Yes, Pastor, on the giving end, I've understood this. And I want to say this also, on the receiving side, you probably did it when you were a kid. Is this all? Are we really appreciative of what God does?" Yeah. Does he ask things too hard of us Christians? I think not. I think the things that he asks of me as a sinner saved by grace, I think they're in the realm of possibility. And I know by his grace and with his help, I can do those things which need to be done. How do you know that? He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Now, you get out there in the world and you start acting like the world and talking like the world and living like the world and dressing like the world and carrying on like the world, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a lot of people who you've told that you were a Christian, and they're going to think, if that's a Christian, that's got to be a goat. How many times do we have this thrown in our faces, staff and Brother Terry, when we talk to people and they say, "Well, I know people in churches, I know people in churches that I live a lot better life than they do, and they call themselves Christians." And you know, if I'd like to say that that's not true, but it is true. Too many of God's people have let down the standards and the bars of service and the bars of love and have faded to the wayside and they look like the world and they dress like the world and they talk like the world and they live like the world. And then they say to themselves, "I don't understand why my children are this way." I'll tell you why. Monkey do as monkey sees. And he said, "Are you calling me a monkey?" I know, but I'm telling you this. Don't expect your friends and your loved ones to look forward to Christ Jesus if in your life Jesus Christ is not shining. We are mirrors, my friends. We reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we turn our mirrors to the world, we're going to reflect the devil and his crowd rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that needs to be changed. Unless you're a goat. You said, "Well, don't you think goats ought to do that?" No, I think goats ought to get saved. Well, I slipped that one in. Yeah. And you tell me that you're a Christian and you have no desire to serve God, and I'm going to tell you you're smelling like a goat. Ooh, that's tough preaching. But it's real. Real sheep act like sheep, and goats act like goats. And so this morning, in life, where do we stand? Are we really, in this summertime, are we really what God wants us to be? I want to. I want to be what God would have me to be. You say, "Well, you should. You're the preacher." Listen to me. You should, because you're just like the preacher. You're a sinner saved by grace. Yeah. And so whether we be the pastor or a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, or one who fills the pew, or one who goes out and witnesses, every one of us, we need to be more like Jesus. We need to be like and do like Him. This last week, I had someone come to me, and I was in a therapy session for my health, and they came and they gave me a bear hug, and they said, "We've missed you." And they said, and they gave me a bear hug, and they said, "Even though you're not our pastor, we love you, Brother Chick, for the stand that you and your church takes for the cause of Christ." How good is our testimony? How much influence has it had? Did you say, "Well, did that make you feel good?" No, but it's a pretty good idea to know that I'm doing something right. Not everything right. No. But I'm doing something right, because those who are not even in our midst recognizes there's a difference. Is there a difference in your life? You say, "Well, I thought you said it's a time of refreshment." Sure it is. You say, "But Pastor, who are you mad at?" I only stay mad at one person. Do you know that? I feel disappointed with others, but I'm only mad at one person, Ryan, and you know who it is? Old Smutty Face. I get so tired of the devil getting God's wonderful people to sit on the bench of do nothing and not witness and not tell anybody about Jesus and not live the Christian life. And he's doing two things. He's causing the lost to stay lost, and he's causing the saved to miss blessing and to be in fellowship with God. And friends, that's too much for him. We ought to give him a kick in the britches and say, "Get out of my life, Satan. I want to please my Lord and my Savior." And then do it. You say, "Well, you lost people sitting back there and say, that's good. Skin those Christians." I ain't going to skin them. You skin a sheep, he dies. But if you talk to them and love them, they'll live, and maybe they'll start living for Christ. But I do want to address you for just a second. You that are without Jesus Christ this morning, unless something changes, unless you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you have absolutely nothing to look forward to but hell and eventually the lake of fire. I don't want you there. These church people don't want you there. God doesn't want you there. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want you there. The Holy Spirit doesn't want you in hell. And if you can be honest with yourself, you don't want to be there either. There's only one I know that glories in your lost condition, and that's Satan. And he's telling you this morning, you can get saved sometime, just don't do it today. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation, and now is the acceptable time. Now, who are you going to believe, the devil or God's word? I don't know about you, but I'd rather believe God's word and spit in the eye of the devil. Amen. Kick him in the britches. Get him out of the way.